Good morning, Symphony Church, and happy Tuesday. Today we're going to be continuing in the book of Judges, and we'll be reading Judges chapter 9, verses 1 through 21. These next couple devotionals are going to be a little bit longer in terms of the passage that we go through, so just do your best. It'll be helpful to have your Bible app or your physical Bible open and to follow along. So here's Judges 9, chapter 1 through 21. Now, Abimelech, the son of Jerubbaal, went to Shechem, to his mother's relatives, and said to them and to the whole clan of his mother's family, "Say in the ears of all the leaders of Shechem, which is better for you, that all 70 of the sons of Jerubbaal rule over you, or that one rule over you? Remember also that I am your bone and your flesh." And his mother's relatives spoke all these words on his behalf in the ears of all the leaders of Shechem, and their hearts inclined to follow Abimelech, for they said, "He is our brother." And they gave him 70 pieces of silver out of the house of Baal-berith, with which Abimelech hired worthless and reckless fellows who followed him. And he went to his father's house at Ophrah and killed his brothers, the sons of Jerubbaal, 70 men on one stone. But Jotham, the youngest son of Jerubbaal, was left, for he hid himself. And all the leaders of Shechem came together, and all Beth-Milo, and they went and made Abimelech king by the oak of the pillar at Shechem. When it was told to Jotham, he went and stood on top of Mount Gerizim and cried aloud and said to them, "Listen to me, you leaders of Shechem, that God may listen to you." The trees once went out to anoint a king over them, and they said to the olive tree, "Reign over us." But the olive tree said to them, "Shall I leave my abundance, by which gods and men are honored, and go hold sway over the trees?" And the trees said to the fig tree, "You come and reign over us." But the fig tree said to them, "Shall I leave my sweetness and my good fruit, and go hold sway over the trees?" And the trees said to the vine, "You come and reign over us." But the vine said to them, "Shall I leave my wine that cheers God and men, and go hold sway over the trees?" Then all the trees said to the bramble, "You come and reign over us." And the bramble said to the trees, "If in good faith you are anointing me king over you, then come and take refuge in my shade. But if not, let fire come out of the bramble and devour the cedars of Lebanon. Now, therefore, if you acted in good faith and integrity when you made Abimelech king, and if you have dealt well with Jerubbaal and his house and have done to him as his deeds deserved, for my father fought for you and risked his life and delivered you from the hand of Midian, and you have raised up against my father's house this day and have killed his sons, 70 men on one stone, and have made Abimelech, the son of his female servant, king over the leaders of Shechem because he is your relative, if you then have acted in good faith and integrity with Jerubbaal and with his house this day, then rejoice in Abimelech and let him also rejoice in you. But if not, let fire come out from Abimelech and devour the leaders of Shechem and Beth-Milo. And let fire come out from the leaders of Shechem and from Beth-Milo and devour Abimelech." And Jotham ran away and fled and went to Beer and lived there because of Abimelech, his brother. So today's passage starts the story of Abimelech, one of Gideon's sons. We just closed out Gideon's story yesterday and how he went from being this warrior that relied on God and walked with him to eventually falling down to become an angry, idolatrous leader. And so Gideon's story has a sad ending, and one can only hope that his successor might be more faithful to the Lord. But unfortunately, Abimelech proves to be the complete opposite. From the very beginning of our introduction to him, we see that Abimelech is a man without virtue. In today's passage, we see that he secretly wins over the leaders of Shechem and carries out a mass murder of the rest of Jerubbaal, aka Gideon's sons, all so that he can secure his claim to the throne and succeed Gideon. And every part of this sequence of events is just drenched in wickedness and sin. Abimelech and his depraved ambition to be heir, the leaders of Shechem for willingly partnering with Abimelech and condoning the murders, the worthless and reckless fellows that Abimelech hired to help him kill just for money, and even down to the money that he used to hire them, which was taken from the house of Baal-berith, money from an idol. It paints a grim picture that shows the consequences of what happens when hearts stray from the goodness of God. When selfish ambition takes over devotion to the Lord and everyone does what's right in their own eyes, the end result is a terrible one. But we read that one son out of the 69, other than Abimelech, survives Abimelech's wrath, and that is Jotham. Jotham hides himself during the murders and he escapes. And when he finds out that Abimelech was made king, he climbs a mountain to address those that were responsible for the deaths of his brothers. Jotham shouts from the mountaintop this sort of parable about trees and how they sought to anoint a king among them. They ask the olive tree, the fig tree, even the vine, but they all refuse. It was only when they get to the lowly bramble that they find one that's willing to become king. And through this parable, Jotham points out the sin of Abimelech and the people that helped him. While the olive tree, the fig tree, and the vine were content in the good things around them, the bramble revealed its wickedness by acting in selfish desire. Desire can be a tricky thing. You know, there are desires that are good, and we see that throughout the Bible. We can desire to be with the Lord. We can desire the gifts of the Spirit. We can desire wisdom and love and friendship. And the Bible says that these are all good things. But most of the time, our desires are not ones that are good. I don't think it's exaggeration to say that for every good desire we have, there are 10 bad desires that cross our mind. And life becomes this daily battle of deciding which desires will follow in order to do what we feel is best. For Abimelech, he decides that his desire to be king is one that must be satisfied by any means necessary. Even if it means murdering his own brothers and working in dishonest ways, Abimelech had a hunger in him to chase after this goal of kingship. He wasn't satisfied with the inheritance that he was likely left by Gideon, the life that he led in his father's passing. He wanted more. And Jotham points this out, and he shows that while the good trees, like the olive tree or the fig tree, and even the vine, which wasn't even really a tree, while they were all satisfied with the lives they led and the positions they had, the bramble was wicked because it wasn't satisfied. It held this desire within itself to be something greater, to be king and to be greater than all else, even if it meant burning everything that opposed it. And Jotham accuses Abimelech for being like the bramble, for being so consumed by desire that he reveals his own wickedness. And although we might look at the story of Abimelech's rise to power as something of an extreme, we need to understand the power of desire to corrupt. The book of Judges is such an essential book in the biblical narrative because it really speaks volumes on the consequences of unholy desire and the depravity it leads to when it goes unchecked. Abimelech is just one of many leaders that would be consumed by his desire. And actually, the message that we should glean from our passage is not try not to be like Abimelech, but rather it's we are all like Abimelech. We are afflicted with this wickedness in our hearts that tells us that what we have isn't enough. We want more money, more acknowledgement, more validation, more security. And if we're left to our own pursuits, we let these desires control our thoughts and our actions. Abimelech is doomed to an unfortunate ending, and we'll see that tomorrow in the following passage. But the good news is that there is something in our lives that is greater than our desires. Although Abimelech and Gideon and all of Israel had forgotten their God and didn't know him, we have access to a personal relationship with the Father, thanks to Jesus. The key to be freed from the influence of desire is to realize that we already have all that we could want. Through Christ's work on the cross, through his atonement for our sins, and through his reconciling us to the Father, we have the promise of eternal life. There is nothing on earth that can possibly compare to the riches of his grace that has been extended to us. There is nothing that can offer us more security than the certainty of salvation. There is nothing that can bring us more fulfillment than living in his perfect will. And there is nothing that can bring us more pleasure than being in his presence. The world will try to convince us that we need to desire all these different things. But let's resist these temptations by clinging to Jesus and resting in the truth of the bountiful, abundant life that we have in him. Now, this morning, I hope we can pray to be like the olive tree and the fig tree and the vine. I hope we can look at the circumstances and the gifts and the calling that God has blessed us with, and we can quench our desire with what he has given us. So let's do that right now. Let's go to him in prayer. Lord, we confess that there are so many desires that are competing for our heart. You know, in a given day, we want so many things. We want to seek after so many goals, and we want to have so many possessions. But Lord, help us to not desire those things, to not be ruled over the longings of our heart. Instead, I pray that you open our eyes to see all that we have, to see how much better it is to just fully embrace your gift that you have given us, the gift of Jesus. Oh Lord, would you help us to be transformed, to not be striving, to not be desiring, but instead to be content. Lord, to be content because you have already given us the most precious gift of all. Lord, I pray that that reality really changes how we live today, or continue to transform us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.